Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Last week, I talked about becoming a people of praise. We're in the middle of a three-week series. And last week, becoming a people of praise, we talked about the word becoming and how becoming means we're in progress or we're in process, becoming. But also how the word becoming means it's very becoming, it's fitting, it's comely, that praise looks good on you and that it fits well. As the people of God, we are people who are people of praise. I'm thankful for the number of people who have said, I am making progress. I am growing and becoming a person of praise. I'm acknowledging some course corrections. We talked about, I said we're going to talk about three pitfalls in this pathway of becoming a people of praise. We want to go around them. We don't want to go through them. If we're in a pit, we want to get out of it. And so last week, I talked about the pitfall of complaining. We looked at Paul and Silas, how they were given the opportunity in a Philippian jail. They were given the opportunity to complain, and instead, they took that opportunity to praise the Lord. And you too will be given the opportunity to complain or to praise the Lord. And it's quite often the very same opportunity. This is your chance. And we talked about that, about not being people who complain. Today we're going to talk about becoming a people of praise and avoiding the pitfall of criticism, or about being a person who criticizes. Have you ever heard the phrase, everyone's a critic? Everybody's a critic. I don't know that that's true, but I think perhaps we tweak that a little bit and say everyone has the possibility of being a critic. Everyone has the potential of criticizing. I think the biggest difference between complaining and criticizing is this. Complaining is expressing an annoyance or a dissatisfaction. I am not happy. I am not happy. I'm not content. Whereas criticism has to do with expressing disapproval. I don't approve. You're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. Being critical of everything and everyone. And I think if we look back as far as we can, even in the Bible, we discover there's a possibility to be critical even of God. Do you remember when God approached Adam? Adam, where are you? And how did this unfold where you took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Adam says this, it's this woman. You gave me. Right? It's her. But this wouldn't have happened if you hadn't. So we even can roll into blaming God and being critical of him. And being critical can be so hurtful. And those words can last so long when someone is critical against us or critical to us. We can often remember critical things that people have said to us, whether it's a parent or a teacher, a friend, an employer, even a stranger. Those words, somebody said something, and it hurt, and it shaped me, and I remember. Just like you'll be given the opportunity to complain, you will be given the opportunity to be critical. And you will have the choice. Sometimes we think we don't have a choice, but we will always have the choice. I want to talk to you about pea soup. I firmly believe that soup is something that you have before dinner, not something for dinner. It is a supplement, not a substitute. And so when we have soup for dinner, I'm expecting the next thing. See, the very first time I went to my wife Audrey's home for dinner, I was 16, she was 17. I always say things like that so you know she's older than I am. She doesn't look it, but it's a fact. And when we sat at the table, I had no experience with the Italian culture. I had no experience with tortellini soup. And her mom had homemade tortellini soup. And you put Parmesan cheese in it. Now, Parmesan cheese was freshly grated in a bowl with a little spoon. I thought it came in a green container and smelled a little like sweaty socks or whatever, and that's what she, no. And I had this bowl of soup, and she said, would you like another? And I said, yes. And so I had the second bowl of soup. And then out came lasagna, homemade, probably 7 layers of lasagna with this bechamel sauce on it. And it was like, this is amazing. I had never had any lasagna like this. And her mom said, would you like another piece? Yes, I would. And I don't remember if that's the very first time Audrey elbowed me or not. But she said, you're going to ruin your appetite before dinner. Turkey dinner came out after the soup and pasta. And I thought, somebody's going to get married here. Like, this is, you know, you or your mom, but I'll tell you, I am going to be a part of this family. This is fantastic. And so I always thought that soup was what you have before dinner. Sometime in our marriage, we had pea soup for supper. And I want you to know that I had a choice. Take it or leave it. No, but I still had a choice to complain or be critical. And you know what I learned in that moment? There is no such thing as constructive criticism. No soup for you. Being critical is putting away the pointing of the finger. In the Bible, when it talks about, God's giving some correction to his people, what fasting really needs to look like. One of the phrases that he says is, put away the pointing of the finger. Put it away. Some people think that they have been given the ministry of being critical. They have the ability of seeing what's going wrong and pointing it out. Good for you. That is not a spiritual gift. They point out what's wrong, and listen, they point out what's wrong, or we make it personal, we point out what's wrong, and think our job is done. No, that's, our job has just begun. When you point out something that's wrong, your job has just begun. Our job is to build up and strengthen people with our words, not pull down and tear down. I saw a reel this week, It was about guys running sound. And this person came up to the sound guy at a church and said, this is, the guitar is too loud or something's too loud. And the sound person, they responded so beautifully. They said, oh, you can hear that? Thank you so much for letting us know that that's too loud. We have been looking for people who have an ear for sound. And we've been looking for volunteers. And so if you can hear that, we will sign you up. Listen, we get to church at 5:30 in the morning to try and set the monitors and the online and all of the things. It's easy to say, what's wrong? That's probably a good place to start. How can I help? This is what Colossians says. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. There's something of sweetness about that. There's something about that our words are pleasant, our words bring pleasure. If I were to ask you, many of you might know this, what's the definition of grace? We talk about unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. And so when we talk about God's grace, we're talking about his unmerited favor. It's been defined before that mercy is not getting what you deserve, and grace is getting what you don't deserve. This moment of grace is getting what you don't deserve. Unmerited favor. Amazing grace. God gives us his grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. We just receive his grace. But listen to what Colossians says. Let your speech be seasoned. Let your speech always be with grace. That means my speech to you is not dependent on you. It's dependent on me. How I speak to you. You do not need to earn the right for me to speak graciously to you. Let your speech be spoken with grace. No one needs to earn the right for me to be gracious to them, to be kind to them. That's on me. That's not on them. That's on us. How we speak is on us, regardless if they're a tool or not. Regardless if they're nasty or not. Regardless what, it is on us. It's on me. Let my speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. That, and it just has to do with the taste. Well, you said that doesn't taste very good. That's a little flat. We have the ability to not be critical, but to let our words come out with grace. It's on me, not on them. Listen to what James says. Because I think that somehow, as I look back, it seems like there's been a transition in the church that we have moved from critical thinking to critical speaking. We used to be critical thinkers, and we've transitioned to critical speaking. James will say this, talking about our mouths. James 3, verse 9 says this, with our mouths, we bless God, we bless our God and Father. Worthy is your name. We bless him, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. We bless God and then curse, speak evil of our brothers or our sisters. And James says, these things ought not to be so. Don't criticize people, instead praise them. When I talk about becoming a people of praise, I hope you didn't think I was just talking about praising God. Because we need to be a people of who praises, and it can even sound awkward saying that, praises each other, praises one another, praise looks good on you. In the midst of praising God, we don't criticize each other. Jesus told a beautiful example of this in Luke 18. It says this, verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. God, I praise you and I thank you that I'm not like them. A little praise can go a long way. A little criticism can go a long way. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Not true. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can do irreparable damage. Names can break us on the inside. We're called to build each other up and not puff each other up. Love doesn't puff up. Love doesn't just blow a lot of hot air. We speak with sincerity. We speak with truth. We speak kindly. You've heard the phrase, if you can't say anything nice. Yeah, I think it's better to say, if you can't say anything nice, try harder. If you can't say anything nice, try harder. When we speak, we need to build each other up, not tear each other down. And somehow I think in my mind, if I can just have the filter, is this going to help them or hurt them? Is this going to harm them? Is this going to build them up or tear them down? It's why gossip is so damaging, is because we can tear someone down without even speaking to them. We just speak about them. And there's a result of tearing them down. Paul wrote to the leaders in Ephesus. He was leaving them. He wasn't going to see them again in this lifetime. And he wrote these words in Acts chapter 20 to the leaders in the church in Ephesus. He said, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. If we would just hear that phrase, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. Commended to the word of his grace, which is able to build up. Commended, it has to do with commended, recommended, committed to, that's what that means, committed to this. Not to the word of his criticism, but to the word of his grace. John 3:16, John Fleck read this to us earlier. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But John 3:17 says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. It's not condemnation that we bring to each other. It's not condemnation God brings to us. Of course, when his light shines in our hearts, it exposes things that are wrong. It's not just that we don't say anything that's wrong. God doesn't do that. But when his light shines in our hearts and convicts us, it's not to bring shame. It's not to tear us down. Instead, it's to bring us to a place of conviction. We're convicted before God. And then it brings us to a place of repentance. Repentance is a gift. When we say repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, when we hear Jesus say that, it's such a gift, a grace of repentance. And we repent, and then we're forgiven. We receive that gift. We're forgiven, and then we're cleansed, washed whiter than, and then we're free. It's this progression of being convicted, of repenting, of being forgiven, of being cleansed, and then being free. Free not just to do whatever we want, but free to do the right thing. We're no longer a slave to sin. And the Bible recognizes when the church gathers together, like we are here this morning, those of you joining us online, there's a room full of gifted people. This past week, and I don't say this to puff her up, but we had a situation at the church here where I was here in the building, Pastor Kathleen was here. And the pastoral gifting and wisdom that she has and experience, I simply stood in awe. And I called Audrey and I said, thank God for Pastor Kathleen. Thank God that Kathleen was here. Thank you. It was this moment I was outgunned. And she knew what to do and how to do it. And when we operate in our giftings, there are so many people here in this room. God, there's nobody here that God didn't give a gift to. God, there's resident gifts within us. And when we're using our gifts, it's to build up the church. Corinthians tells us this. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Let all the talking that happens at church be done to build up the church. The Bible goes on to say this in Ephesians, let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. No corrupt talk. But rather to build each other up and to impart grace. Not the word corrupt, it has to do with foulness. No, let nothing foul, let nothing unwholesome, nothing rotten, nothing abusive come out of our mouths. As we're becoming a people of praise, we're not complaining, we're not criticizing. I love baseball, and specifically I love the Dodgers. And this may warm your heart, they just clinched the playoff spot. But a foul ball in baseball is a baseball that crossed the line. There's a line in the state, it crosses the line. It's foul. That's what God says to us about our mouths. Your words, if they're foul, they've crossed the line. Let no corrupt communication come out of our mouths. The word will show up in the New Testament 8 times. One time, Jesus, when he uses it, he's talking about when you've thrown a net into the sea and you bring the catch in and you begin to separate what is edible from what is non-edible. The other 7 times he uses it, he's talking about a tree and the fruit that you take, what you're able to consume and what you're not, the good fruit and the bad fruit. And that bad fruit, that's where the word corrupt, that's what it's about. That's the picture. And it says, let no corrupt communication, let nothing come out of your mouth that isn't fit for human consumption, that isn't fit for the other person to build them up, to strengthen them, to bring life. Throw away the bad fruit. Paul started the church, Christian church in the city of Corinth. He wouldn't stay there forever, but he would write to them with a strong degree of authority. I'm just closing in just a moment. He'd write to them with a strong degree of authority. And he references authority when he speaks to them. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 8. And he acknowledges it's the Lord who's given him and them the leadership, the authority. He says this, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us, look, for edification. He gave us this authority to operate in the spiritual authority I have in your life, he says. For your edification, not for your destruction. I shall not be ashamed. Authority to build up, not to destroy. What an amazing concept of authority. I'm going to speak into your life to build you up. My focus is on you. Do you have authority in someone else's life? Authority isn't necessarily rooted in position. It's rooted in influence. Do you have influence? Then use your words to build someone else up, not to be critical. Paul will say in that very same letter a little later, he will say, I'm using to build up, not to destroy. And it's here we see that he's writing to the church in Corinth. So it's not just our words that we say. It can be our church, our words that we write. Ever had received a hurtful text? Hurtful email? It's a hurtful note? It's not just the things we say. Read something on Facebook, on whatever social media can be hurtful. We need to use our words, spoken and written, to build up. And of course, as we walk through life with people, we do bring caution and correction. We care enough to say something, and we don't just puff up, but we do help. My sister Valerie taught me this years ago. It's a principle. Just because you see something right away doesn't mean you need to say something right away. Just because you see something right away doesn't mean you need to say something right away. Spiritual authority, spiritual influence. Let me close with this. Number one, first, when we talk about becoming a people of praise, not falling into the pitfall of complaining, but today not falling into the pitfall of criticizing, first, consider your heart. We learned last week, or reminded last week, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Consider your heart. Secondly, consider your words. Not critical, but will the person be built up? How can I build up, encourage, strengthen you? Third, consider your relationship. Do you have the kind of relationship with that person where this is going to go well? To correct each other, to speak into each other's lives? Fourth, consider your work. Just because you see something and you point it out, that's not your place to end, that's your place to start. I love you enough, I'm going to speak into your life, and I'm going to come alongside to build you up, to help you. I'm going to walk alongside with you, not just point out what's wrong. Becoming a people of praise, we want to avoid the pitfalls along this path of complaining. Instead, our eyes are on God, not on our problem. And of criticism, we're building people up, not tearing people down. Nate, can you put that last verse up? Thanks. Last week, we made this our prayer. I'm going to pray it again now. I'm going to pray it again next week. Rather than me closing in prayer, Tara and team, can I invite you to come and join me? These words we are going to agree with. Scripture talks about reckoning ourselves dead to sin, reckoning ourselves to God. That reckoning, it means saying the same thing, coming into agreement with. And as we come into agreement with the Word of God, we make God's very word our prayer this morning, where it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love that last part where it says, my strength. That means we're not going to do this on our own. Have you ever noticed you make a decision and you blow it by the time? I remember we bought a new car one time, in new to us, in Olds, and I had told our kids, we are not eating in this car. I'm laying down that is it. We are not eating in this car. We didn't even make it out of Olds. We went through, I drove through the Tim Hortons drive-thru and got Timbits. Like, sometimes it feels like in our Christian walk, we make this decision, and then by the time we get out the doors, we've complained or criticized. Oh God, help me, help me. Oh Lord, my strength. We're going to rely on His strength and my Redeemer. His redemptive purposes come to bear, because it's not all about me. God's able to do this, but our heart is this. Our heart is this prayer. Would you pray it from your heart with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you go ahead and stand as the team leads us?
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.